Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series entitled Financial Stewardship. I'm ministering this specifically because of all of the fear and the negative things that are being said about finances. And sad to say, Christians are often more influenced by the world than they are by the Lord. And if you understand God's system of finances, you can be secure even in insecure times. You can prosper. It's my personal testimony that my wife and I have been prospering. Our ministry is prospering. And it's during a time that other ministries aren't prospering. I'm not trying to be critical of them, but I'm saying that there's a lot of people, even ministers, even ministries, that are basing their faith on just carnal, physical, natural things. They haven't understood the principles of the Word of God on the subject of prosperity. And it doesn't have to be that way. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't be that way. Christians ought to trust God for everything, not only their eternal destination and their spiritual things, but the Lord has made promises concerning finances for us. And there is a scriptural way to prosper. And if you do it God's way, Philippians 4:19 says, God will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can be based on heaven's economy. And heaven is not in a panic mode. Heaven is not struggling. God is not wringing His hands, wondering how He's ever going to meet the needs of His people. Man, God's supply in heaven is abundant. I mean, if things really got bad in heaven, all God would have to do is sell one brick off of the street made of pure gold, and it'd probably satisfy all of the needs of all of His people all over the world. God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. God is not in a financial crisis. And if you are in a financial crisis, I'm saying this in love, I'm not trying to condemn, but I'm saying it's because you have not been firmly rooted in the principles of the Word of God. So that's the reason I'm teaching on this. This is a great time to make an adjustment. This is a great time to get centered on God so that you never again have to worry about the ups and downs of this world's economy, and you can base your faith on what God is doing. And the very first point that I've been trying to get across is out of, there's a lot of places, but I use Luke chapter 16 where it talks about a man who is a steward. And I really believe that the first step in prosperity is recognizing God as your source. Therefore, it's God's money. It's God's assets that He's given you. And if you would see everything you've got is not just being yours, but God. Therefore, you are responsible to Him. You pray and ask God for leadership and guidance about your decision. It would stop all of this impulse buying. It would stop all of the covetousness and the lust and the greed that has driven so many people into financial ruin. It would keep you from making mistakes. God knows whether the investment you're making is a scam or whether it's the real deal. And if you would pray about it, God would tell you and avoid scams. God, it says in John chapter 16, verse 13, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He'll show you if the stock market is going to go down and you can make adjustments. And if we would just say, God, this is your money. What do you want me to do? God is going to bless you and prosper you. And that is the truth of the Word of God. He wants you to prosper. Psalms chapter 35, verse 27, it says, let all those who favor my righteous cause say continually, let God be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. God is pleased when you prosper. It doesn't please God for you to struggle. It doesn't please God for you to be from hand to mouth, and as soon as you get the money, it's all gone, and you're struggling to get by, and you're just barely getting along. That is not God's will. God wants you to prosper. And if you will start recognizing God as your source and say, Father, all of this money that I have, whether it's enough or too little or whatever I've got is yours. What do you want me to do? And if you start following His guidance and let God direct you, God will cause you to prosper. Now, there are some religious people who say, no, that's not so. That a sign of God's blessing is poverty, that God wants to humble you and break you and use poverty to teach you things. I don't believe you can find that in Scripture. Now, I will admit that there are people who I think have gone too far. There are people who are taking this teaching on prosperity and they are living an opulent lifestyle. They are flaunting their riches and consuming it upon themselves in a way that invites criticism. And you know what? I'm personally not against those people. I do believe God wants us to prosper, but I think that we could use more wisdom than that. You know, I've got nice cars. I've got a nice house. But there are many of you, probably most of you, that live in a nicer house as far as dollar-wise, costs more. My house cost $63,000 20 years ago when I built it. And it's a nice house. I am not complaining. I am blessed. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't get a better place. But I'm saying I am not taking the money that God prospers me with and just consuming it upon myself. I am blessed, blessed, blessed. I am not preaching poverty. But at the same time, I am not using this prosperity just for selfish purposes. I'm using it to bless other people and establish the kingdom. In our ministry, we give away materials. We've given away over 6 million tapes, CDs, books, videos, DVDs, all of the materials. 6 million. You know, if you were to just take a conservative estimate of $5 per item, that would be over $30 million worth of product I've given away. And probably it's going to be a lot more than that. I mean, a lot of these products today go for $10 a pop or something. If you were to do that, it could be as much as $60 million worth of stuff. I am taking the prosperity that God has given me and I'm using it to bless people and to put out the word. We give away a lot of money, minister to people. So I'm just trying to say that yes, there's people that have misused this. Yes, there's people that have flaunted it and they live the lifestyle of a movie star, a rock star, or somebody else off of God's people. And I personally don't like that. Now, there's a balance to that. I don't think that everybody ought to live in a bad place either. I think God is El Shaddai and not cheap El Cheapo. He wants to bless you. I'm not against people who live in a $1 million home. I'm just saying, I think that sometimes the criticism against ministers who preach on prosperity is justified. They invite that type of criticism. But regardless of all of that, there is a godly way to prosper. The Bible teaches about prosperity, and it is time to make an adjustment and recognize God as your source and let God start leading you. I was using Abraham as an example. The Lord said unto him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, I will bless you and make your name great, and I will make you a blessing. God says, Abraham, I'm your source. Abraham proved it in the 13th chapter when he became so prosperous in goods that he and his nephew couldn't dwell together because the land couldn't bear them. There wasn't enough grazing for everybody. So Abraham, because he saw himself as the recipient of God's blessing. It wasn't up to him to just scratch and claw and make it come to pass. Because of this, he took the high road and he told Lot, his nephew, he says, choose which way you want to go. Here's the well-watered pasture. If you choose that, I'll go into the desert. Now, who would give that kind of an option to a person? When you have livestock and you are dependent upon grazing land for your multitudes of cattle and sheep and goat, who would give the best grazing to somebody else and you would go out into the desert where, you know, it's 5-10 feet apart between blades of grass? Who would do something like that? A person who saw God as his source, a person who saw that he was just a steward and that God had given him a promise, I will bless you. You don't have to bless yourself. You don't have to make all of this come to pass. I'm your source. Boy, to me, this speaks volumes. And he not only did this with Lot, but after Lot left, Lot moved down to this area called around Sodom and Gomorrah. And before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was well watered. The scripture says, like the garden of the Lord. And though there were 4 kings that came into that area and conquered 5 cities. One of them was Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived. And so Abraham got news that his nephew had been conquered and taken captive, him and his wife, his children, all of his possessions and everything. And so Abraham rose up and armed the servants that had been born in his house. Now, this is back during the time when there was slavery. And he had, I think it was 380 servants who were born in his house who were expert in war. And he took these 380 along with some friends of his, and they went down and they conquered these kings and got back all of the spoil, all of the people and everything. Now, this, first of all, makes quite a statement about the level of prosperity that Abraham had come into. To have 380 servants who were able to fight. You know that there were wives and that there were children who couldn't fight. There were old men who couldn't fight. And so I suspect that if there was 380 armed servants, that he had at least 1,000 servants, maybe more than that. I mean, this is quite a testimony to the prosperity of Abram. And then after he conquered them all, let me just read this to you out of Genesis chapter 14. It says that the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Now, this was really a logical thing to do. The king of Sodom had lost all of the goods and all of the people. They were totally conquered. They were a defeated group of people, and if it hadn't have been for Abram coming down and freeing them, they wouldn't have had anything. They would have lived as slaves. So this was logical. Abram, you saved our life. If you will just let us have our people back and let us go, we'll give you all of our goods, all of our silver and gold, our flocks, our herds. We'll give you everything, because if it wasn't for you, we would have nothing. And so this is what the kingdom of Sodom offered him, and look at Abram's response. Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Boy, now does this reveal Abraham's attitude or what? We don't know exactly how much this spoil was, but it was five cities, five kings that were conquered, and all of their people, all of their possessions, their flocks, their herd, their silver, their gold, their raiment, everything that they had, all of the spoils of war, these kings had taken them all captive, and they were offering all of this material, all of this material wealth back unto Abram. I don't know how much this was, but I don't think it's unreasonable to say that this was millions, probably tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars worth of sheep, cattle, silver, gold, clothes, all of these things. It was a fortune. And Abraham says, I'm not going to take even one thread from a garment. I'm not going to take even a shoe latchet. Like that would be like us saying, I won't even take a shoelace off of anybody's shoe, lest anybody say that they are the one that made Abraham rich. Abraham wasn't saying that he didn't desire to be rich. He wasn't saying that he wasn't going to prosper. He was just saying, God is my source, and I am not going to take anything. He had the right to do it. It was offered unto him. And yet this reveals that, see, Abraham saw himself as a steward. He saw himself as the recipient of God's blessing. God was his source. No man was going to be his source. And he turned down the equivalent of millions, maybe tens of millions of dollars worth of goods, lest anybody think that it was anything in the natural that made him prosperous. He wanted God to be seen as his source. He had absolute confidence and faith in God. And of course, here we are over 4,000 years later using Abraham as an example of prosperity and talking about him. 4,000 years later, you know why? One of the main reasons is because God was his source. He refused to look to anything else. He let his nephew take the best grazing land. He let the kings take back all of the gold, the silver, the flocks, the herds, everything. God was his source. And because he did this, look at the very next thing here in the 15th chapter, verse 1. After these things, talking about Abraham refusing to accept all of the spoil of this battle, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, I don't know this for certain, but it seems like that if the Lord said, "Fear not," maybe Abram had some fear. Maybe Abram, after he gave back the equivalent of tens of millions of dollars worth of spoil, maybe when he got back to his tent and thought about it, he thought, "What have I done? I could have used this. It was rightfully mine. I put my life at risk, the life of my servants. And you know what? I just gave away the equivalent of tens of millions." But his heart was right, and the Lord was saying to him, "Don't fear, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And he began to amplify the promises. And you find that in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis is when God made a covenant with Abram. And he had Abram take these animals and kill them and split them in two. And of course, during those days, the way that they made covenant, they would kill an animal, and often they would take the animals and separate them, and they would walk through the pieces of this, showing that they were making a blood covenant. Well, God had Abram separate these animals and put these parts over here, and he stayed there all afternoon and into the evening, driving the fowls of the air away from these carcasses that he had killed. And about later at night, as it got dark, all of a sudden a smoking lamp and a burning furnace passed between the pieces. That was symbolic of God walking through this and making covenant. And this is what's quoted in Galatians chapter 3, Romans, other places, where it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's a quotation from Genesis 15:6. Because Abraham made God his source, because he turned down the worldly wealth and the world's system of prospering by conquering people and taking their spoil. But instead, he did things God's way. He listened to God. God blessed him. God made this covenant. And God began to bless Abram so that he prospered so much that literally kings came out to Abraham and said, "You're greater than us. We can't bear, our nation cannot bear all of the people that are with you, all of the cattle, all the flocks. You're too strong, you're too wealthy for us. Depart from us." How many of you have had the mayor of a town come and say, "You know what, your net worth is so much, we just can't accommodate you. Please go somewhere else. You're more prosperous than our whole city." That's what happened to Abraham. And you know why? Many reasons, but one of the dominant things that all of these examples, I believe, make very clear is that Abraham saw God as his source. He was a steward. It was God's prosperity. God had made the promise, "I'm going to bless you, and I'll make your name great, and I'll make you a blessing." Brothers and sisters, as I start teaching on finances, I believe that this is a beginning point. You need to get to a place to where, "God, forgive me for doing my own thing. Forgive me for taking the money that I've got in return for my work and all of these things. And forgive me for just indulging my lust, doing what I want to, mortgaging my future, mortgaging my kids' future, not following your guidelines, not even consulting you." If you're in financial crisis right now, I can guarantee you have not been consulting God. Now, you may have been crying out, "Oh, God, give me more," but just so that you could use it, consume it upon your own lust. I mean, there are even ungodly people that'll cry out to God to give them things, but I'm saying you haven't approached your finances with God. "This is yours. I am yours. I'm your servant. I'm your steward. These are your resources. What do you want me to do?" If you would approach God with that attitude and adopt the mindset of a steward, it would change the way you administer your money. You will become secure and you'll prosper even through hard times. You know, I heard a preacher one time say during an offering, he said, "Now everybody stand up and reach into the pocket of the person in front of you or into their purse and grab their wallet and give like you always wanted to give. And you know, the point, of course, it was a joke, but the point that he was making through this is that, see, if I was to give you my wallet and I was to say, now, you just give, you know, whatever you want to, you'd probably be more generous with my money than if it's your money. When you consider it to be yours, it's like there is a string that goes directly from your heart to your wallet. And if somebody touches your wallet, boy, they touch your heart. I mean, you feel it. But when it's somebody else's money, you have a totally different attitude. Well, it's your money. What do you want me to do with it? And you just do it because it's no loss to you. It's not yours in the first place. I'm saying that this ought to be the attitude that every one of us adopts concerning the money, the resources that we have. We need to see that we are stewards. We need to be like Abraham and say, it's you that blesses me. It's you that has given me the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he says, remember the Lord your God, that it's He that gives you the power to get wealth. God is your source. It's not up to you to just do what you want to. It's not up to you to go after the first scam that comes along and then ask God to bless it. You ought to first of all say, God, this is your money. Is this what you want me to do? And if you are following God's leadership and listening to Him, then you don't have to have God bless it. If you're obeying God, it's already blessed. If God tells you to do something, it's blessed in the very fact that He led you to do it. You don't have to ask God's blessing on something that was conceived by God. But if you have an Ishmael, you're going to have problems. And then we spend so much time, oh, God, make this business work. Oh, God, make my investments work. Well, did God tell you to start the business? Did God lead you in this investment? Is this what God led you to do? Did God tell you to do the things that you're doing? Many of you would have to say, nope. You know, I did this on my own. It just seemed wise at the time. Well, I think many of you are seeing that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world is not working. All of these billionaires and these people that some of you have looked up to and you've wanted to be like them, they are hurting. There are billionaires killing themselves because it was not the wisdom of God. They weren't led by God. And if it's not of God, I guarantee you the house is going to fall. It will not last. And we see a necessary adjustment taking place today because there's a lot of people that have been operating in things that are ungodly principles, and it just has to come to an end. But if you will found your life upon the principles of God, and the very first one that I've talked about is recognize that God is your source. It's God's money. Therefore, follow the instructions that the Word of God gives about how to manage money. It's not up to you to pick and choose and say, well, I'm going to believe these scriptures about salvation, and I'm going to believe these scriptures about emotions, and I'm going to ask God to heal my marriage, but my money, it's my own. That's the reason you're in the mess you're in. You know what? I'm encouraging you to become a steward. I want to encourage you to get this teaching that I've got entitled Financial Stewardship. I'm going to continue with the album through tomorrow and the rest of the week, next week and for weeks. But today will be my last day to make the first teaching, What is a Steward, available. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today to receive these materials. Then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled What is a Steward is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number T015C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is our last day to offer the first teaching in this album on financial stewardship. The way I offer my materials is that we ask for a donation of any amount for these albums because there's multiple CDs in there and it costs a lot of money to put it out. And so we ask you to give something. But there's some people who would not or could not give anything. And so what we do is make each individual teaching in the album available as a free gift for a brief period of time. And so for the first 4 days of this teaching, I've taught on what is a steward. Today is my last day to make this first CD in this album available as a gift. And if you would like to get that free of charge, my partners have enabled me to do this. So today's our last day for that. Please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He will be in Atlanta, Georgia this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 5th through the 7th. Colorado Springs for the Karis Bible College Weekend March 12th through the 14th. And in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar on May 7th through the 9th. Raleigh, North Carolina, June 11th through the 13th. And in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.